If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of James. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. We're reading from verse 1 to 12. James 3, 1 to 12. But I will preach from 1 to 8. James chapter 3, verse 1 to 12. This is what it says. My beloved, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to control the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us and return their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and birds and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men. We have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My beloved, these things ought not to be so. Does the spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my beloved, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. As we know, for a while ago, we're going through the book of James, and the main topic of our series was the mark of genuine faith, the mark of saving faith. We're continuing on that same path today. We see here James is talking, is continuing from what we left on chapter 2. Here is talking to a group of people. First of all, we can ask in verse 1, to whom, or the old epistle, to whom James is writing. We know that he's writing to the Jews who have been scattered throughout the Roman Empire. The Jews who were not living in Jerusalem, who were living outside the congregation of believers who were meeting outside of Israel. James is writing to them. And here, in this chapter, as it begins, we see that Jude is writing especially to those among that group who were inspiring, those who wanted to be teachers, those who wanted to be those who present the word of God, those who wanted to take the office of pastors, of those who deliver the word of God, those who want to be preachers among them. He's also writing to those who are also preaching to the word of God. He's writing to that specific group. By reading this, or by reading and by listening to some sermons, I saw that most of the time, the intention is always to go to the old congregation. These specific people are neglected in that way, that no one preaches to that specific group to whom James is writing to. So that's why I want to focus my message today to the men among us who are preaching, or those who are inspiring, those who want to be preachers of the word of God, because that's the one James is writing here. At the same time, there will be things for all body of Christ in general, Christians as general. They will also have some things here. But I won't do justice to this verse if I just preach generally. I want to speak closely to those James is writing to, especially those who aspire to be teachers of the word of God, those who sense the calling to be preachers of the word of God. Jude is giving this cautious warning to those in that early church who were desiring. And this same pattern is not only for that time, it's also for today. In our time, we have churches, we have congregations, we have young men aspiring, we have also men who are preaching the word of God. So that's James's writing here. And he's continuing from verse 1, and in chapter 1, verse 19, where he wrote that, "So then, my beloved, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." He's continuing that same pattern. He's putting some weight to what he said, that he wants people, believers, to spend their time listening, to be people who want to listen, to be quick to listen to the word of God, but not just quick to speak, not wanting to speak, but wanting to be taught. We see the word here as well in verse 1, many. Many. He wants, even though in Church of God there is need for those who take the office of preachers, those who want to preach the word of God, but there can't be too many who want to do that. There must be a balance, that there are those who also want to listen. There must be those who want to be taught. They want those who want to learn from the person who's teaching. Many. You know that it is our desire in this congregation that God, by His grace, will do us the favor that we will have many preachers in this church. And it makes my heart to be so happy these days when I see Yuel is preaching, and we see Daniel preaching, we see that we have overflow of preachers in our congregation. No one can say that I'm so exhausted because I'm preaching too much, because there are people who can preach, who can share the burden. It is a blessing to have that. But at the same time, James is saying that we are not to rush everyone who has the desire, they just to rush and to preach. He gives a cautious warning here to all those who want to preach the word of God. Why? He said that because there is a great consequence, there is stricter judgment for those who preach. And there is a word here, he emphasized again, teachers. Let not many of you become teachers. Teachers. In our society, in our church, we know that we have many people who teach. There are people who teach in Sunday school. There are people who teach like at home. We have family devotions. Some have that, and then somebody teaches. As parents, we teach our children. Some have duties at work to teach. There's different kind of teaching. We all, in some ways, we teach others. But the teaching James is talking here is about those who take the pulpit, the ministry in the pulpit of delivering the word of God. Those who are in ministry of preaching. Those are the people he's talking about here. Those who want to be preachers, those who want to be pastors, those who want to be elders preaching in the pulpit. Those are the ones he's talking here. He said that let not be many. He's talking that specific people, group of people. Why? It's because of the message those people are entrusted with. It's because of the task they have. Teaching children, we're teaching them morals, we're teaching them different things at home. Teaching Sunday school, we teach the children. But the one who is in front, in the pulpit, has a specific message to teach to the people of God. These people have the specific message, which is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have to present it. They have to command people. They have to rebuke people. They have to counsel. They have to bring the whole counsel of God to the people of God. Apostle Paul, when writing about the importance of this message, he wrote to Timothy in Timothy 1, verse 4, and chapter 4, verse 6. Timothy 1, 4, 6. Paul writes to Timothy, say that, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. As you know, of all other jobs in this world, there's no job of which it says that by doing this you are saving. You are saving those who hear you and you are saving yourself. There is no job, no job in this world other than preaching, which is connected to salvation of souls. Doctors can change the hearts of people. Doctors can do all the physical jobs or the mental part of the humans, but no one can touch the eternal, the spiritual part. That's the job reserved only to the one who preaches the word of God. So Paul is writing to Timothy saying that your job is so specific, your job is so special, your job is so serious. By doing this, by doing it faithfully, you are saving yourself and those who hear you. You are as the ambassador who is called, the ambassador of a country who is called to represent the country. The ambassador is there to show the intentions, the culture. He is there to represent the country he represents. We are to reflect what we are entrusted with. As those who are called to preach, we are to do it faithfully. We are to do it faithfully. We are to present the message of God faithfully, knowing that preaching the word of God is a very task, duty, a serious task we have. It's not anything to take for granted. It's not just knowing that when I get there, I am done. Many young men, or even some who are preaching today, think that when they attain that position of preaching, that's it, they are there. They are untouchable. They don't care anymore. No one can touch them. We see them in other congregations where they think that they are untouchable. And they use the scripture to say that don't touch the anointed of God. They think they are so untouchable. This is what James is talking about here. He's talking about the importance of this message which we have. Preaching being a very serious task, at the same time it is also a very glorious task, because as we stand in the pulpit, as we preach the word of God, we are presenting the word of God, not the word of men. We understand that this is the means by which God brings his own word to his people. When the hearers listen to the word of God, they hear what God is saying to them on that day. We are not to take this task so casually, thinking that it's fine, I'm there, it's my duty, I'm good of talking, I am fine, so that's it. We have to take it so seriously that we are presenting the message of our Master and our God. When we talk, when we open the counsel of God, we are presenting the message of God. God has something to say every time we open our mouths. As those who are entrusted with the role of preaching the word of God, we have to be careful to not misrepresenting God, misrepresenting the truth, because there are consequences. As James said, that there is stricter consequences for those who preach the word of God. Many have fallen away from this. Many think that the pulpit is the place where they can make the political agenda heard, or their own personal preferences to be heard, or they think that this is the time I have to tell that person or that person what I think of them, or this is the place where I can be the boss, forgetting the message they are to be presenting, to the message of God, forgetting that misrepresenting God, there is a great judgment. In verse 2, James goes on to say that as human beings, he acknowledges that as human beings, we stumble, we fall. Even though we are interested with this great message, this great task, we are still humans, we stumble. That's why Apostle Paul writes that a novice, a new convert, should not be given the role as a pastor, as a preacher. That when they stumble, they may not be humble to accept that I have stumbled. A young, a novice or immature person, when he gets to the pulpit, when he gets that, he puffs up with knowledge, becomes arrogant, becomes bossy, does he know that they are representing the word of God. They don't think that they can stumble. They will make up for all the stumbling and all the faults, and they will lead people astray. A matured person, when they fall, when they stumble, they will be humble enough to ask to God for help. The one who is matured will know, they will not, the more they preach, they will see that it's by the grace of God, by mercy of God. The reason they are preaching, the reason they are still standing, is because the mercy of God. As teachers, as preachers, as those who are inspiring to preach, we are called to be careful in what we say. We use the tongue to speak. We are among people. We are there and we fall time after time. We are humans. We have to accept. We are not to promote ourselves and put ourselves in a place that we are untouchable. Everything we do is gold. Everything we do, there is no sin. Everything we do, we have figured out what we are doing. No. We still stumble and fall. But we have to be humble in what we are doing. We are to be reminded that we are to set a good example among all. Our testimony must be good among all. Pastors' children are known to be rebellious. Pastor's children are known to be the worst. If you go, you are like, that is in general. It's known. But why is that? Why is that? Is it because we have pastors who are, when they are in pulpit, they are different people? And then when they go home, life is totally different. The children see the fallen man. They see the fallen person. And what they preach in pulpit and what comes in the mouth at home is totally different. The kids rebel. Is it that what happens? I don't know. But we are to set an example. We are to be a good example to all. Especially those who live with us day after day. We are to cry to God that we have a good testimony as believers or as those who preach the word of God. And now in verse 3, James is bringing this idea home. He's trying to say that, as he said, there should not be many teachers among you, saying that there are consequences, there are stricter consequences for those who preach. He said that we are human beings, we stumble in many things we do. If any person says that they don't stumble, they are perfect men, he wants to point that there is only one person who have not failed, who have not stumbled, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he comes on verse 3 to give us examples of what happens. He gives us the first example of a horse. Horse. I know that some of you, especially those who live in Esther, they see horses every day, isn't it? I don't see horses often. I have to go really far away to see horses. But you see those animals, those huge animals, those high animals. I've not seen many horses in my life, but I've seen some horses, like in South Africa, when police come with the horses, you see that there can be demonstrations and stuff. When police come with the horses, everyone respects them. Because those horses are so high, police can reach people from far off. And those animals are powerful. But those powerful animals, James is telling us that if they are well trained, even a 5-year-old child can control that powerful, huge animal. James is talking about the controlling, the training of this big animal, this dangerous animal, this powerful animal. He's saying that if it is controlled, even a young child can control it. As teachers, as preachers, how are we to reflect the use of our own tongues? This is the question we have to ask ourselves. How are we to reflect the use of our own tongues as preachers, as those who inspire to preach the word of God? As believers, as Christians, this is not a small thing, because when we're standing before the people, we must remember that we're standing before the dying souls. When we're standing before God to preach the word of God, we have to understand that we are presenting the everlasting word of God. We have to understand that we present the old counsel of God whenever we stand before people of God to preach the gospel, whenever we open our mouth. By what we preach, people come to faith, people see the way of salvation. You wonder today how many churches have gone astray. You wonder today how many denominations have gone astray. Is it because somebody has been holding them and moving them to different places? or different direction. No, it's because of what the pastors, the preachers have been speaking. What has been coming out of the mouth of people. Uncontrolled tongue. Think of the task you have as a preacher, as the one who aspires to become a preacher of God. Think of the message you are given, and at the same time, consider a Buddhist monk, an imam, Roman Catholic, monk or pastor or priest, who has given the same platform to preach, but the message they are preaching is condemning people to hell. At the same time, you are given the pulpit, the platform to preach to God and to people of God the message which shows people the way to salvation. Think of the host. If it is well trained, it can be controlled by a small child. The calling of those who come into ministry is a serious calling. We are to consider it. We are to ponder it. We are to take it so seriously. In verse 4, James gives us another example. He gives an example of a sheep. Big sheep. Huge. How it can be controlled by a rudder. By a small thing. By a person who controls a big sheep. If you take a ship from Finland to Stockholm, or those royal, Caribbean ships who are really big, imagine those things are controlled by a rudder. Nowadays, it's just like joysticks. I know a guy from Jakobstad was the captain for boats from Sweden, Finland to Sweden, was it Viking Line. He invited his wife to go with him from Finland to Sweden, and she sat with him in his office when he was controlling that same boat. How huge the boat is, the ship is, the wife was so surprised that it was controlled by a joystick. Her husband was just controlling that big thing with a joystick. And everything was doing, that big ship was following. This is the example James is giving us here. He says that as a big ship is controlled by a small member or part of that ship, so is the tongue. The tongue controls, the tongue is capable of causing many damages. We are to bring the body, we are to put our bodies under submission. We are to exercise self-control. James, or many of the sermons or books I've read, they talk mostly about the taming of the tongue. Taming of the tongue. Controlling the tongue. Those who are preachers, they must train, they must control. Those who aspire to be preachers. And in general, all believers are to train their tongue. They must be cautious of the damage the tongue can cause. Some people have really fast tongue, and they know that they use it in that way, in damaging way. And they've taken it as a weapon. They're always ready to use their tongue. Some people, it will be that they use their office. I am the boss. You can't touch me. If you touch me, I'll fire you. Or some people can use some pastors that they can think that I will curse you. Some parents use even the words they think that if you say something bad, I will curse you. People identify the tools, sometimes very dangerous tool like the tongue. To cause damages. I know families who have been destroyed because of the words. I know churches destroyed because of words. I know workplaces destroyed because of words. If you go to families today who have divorced and ask, how did your family get dissolved? How did you end up in problems? No one will tell you that there was guns involved, there were knives involved, there were somebody drove on me. Most of the time you say that he said, she said, we said. What is in the center of that? It's the tongue. The tongue. Yeah. So we must understand that as God's people, we are to be careful of what we can use with our tongue. Children, when you talk to your parents, watch your words. Watch your words. Try to exercise some self-control that what is here is refrained. There is filters, or there is even a gate that it doesn't get out. Parents, when you talk to your children, or to your wife, or to church members, we are to control our tongue. I've discovered something really important, something really, which in some sense I appreciate by some men or some women. When I was a young kid and I've done something wrong, I would look at my dad. If my dad is quiet, he doesn't say a word, which means he has gotten enough. When my mom was so angry, and you know that what is left for you is death, she would be quiet. She would be quiet. I think that is a good character than going crazy. When you are angry, when you understand, you are like on shooting bullets to people because you are angry. You want to win them by your words. As pastors, as those aspiring to be pastors, as preachers, we are to control our tongue. Whenever we have the opportunity to speak, we must know the damage the tongue can cause. We must control our tongue. We must know that as pastors, as preachers, the very tool we use, the most tool we use is our tongue. Is our tongue. And what do we do with it? We are to teach it to control, to be controlled. Scriptures is full of words or description about tongue. If you go to scriptures, the Bible talks about wicked tongue, deceitful tongue, perverse tongue, filthy tongue, corrupt tongue, flattering tongue, slanderous tongue, gossiping tongue, blasphemous tongue, foolish tongue, boasting tongue, complaining tongue, cursing tongue, contentious tongue, sensual tongue, and vile tongue. None of those things are positive tongues. And those descriptions of the tongue should be what a pastor, a preacher, would be doing every day to to murder, to kill in their own lives. If you are a preacher of the word of God, none of those characteristics of the tongue should be found in your lives. You should work hard on them. You should be conscious. That's one of the things. You should be conscious of, this is what I need to murder. This is what I need to kill in my own life. But if you are a careless person, you won't even realize that that job needs to be done. That's what James is warning these people. There was big need in the early church for those who could preach. But at the same time, he's giving this cautious warning to the people, to taming the tongue, to controlling the tongue, to remind his readers about the power of the words. And knowing that those who preach, they use this big or this small member of the body to communicate. If your tongue is as sharp as a sword, you are not qualified to be a preacher. Your tongue should be controlled. Your tongue should be controlled. When you are angry, don't become like rocket shooter. You are shooting. Self-control, calm down. It amazes me when people get angry and they talk too much. I find it so hard. When I'm so angry, I think of how I can kick you big time. Then I'm quiet. I'm like, if I punch you in the head, you are dead. I don't talk. But it is something, it's not good either. But as preachers of the word of God, we are not to be... We have to control ourselves. Because in Church of God, there is disputes. In Church of God, there are accusations. There are troubles in Church of God. If your tongue is so sharp, you will cause more damage than healing. If you stand in front and not controlling your tongue, you are in trouble. James is talking about this part, this member we have behind our teeth. I found a quote by one preacher who wrote that like this. He said that God has put a tongue in a cage behind the teeth, walled in the mouth. However, the tongue, being in a wet place, slips all the time. And then he warns the people, as a preacher of the word of God, know that the tongue is there, controlled by the teeth, and then you have the lips, but it is in a wet place. It slips all the time. You have to learn to control the tongue. Jesus speaking about the tongue in Matthew 12:34, he says, "Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Jesus recognizes that what is in the heart will be coming out. It's one thing to think. I think all of us think of different things. But we are to learn to control what we say in our mind. Because it's easier to say things. Maybe doing things, it can take some time. But saying something, it's easy. A preacher of the word of God should not be characterized with a flippant tongue. A flippant tongue. Or uncontrolled tongue. We are to learn. We are to teach each other. We are to learn. We are to control ourselves, that our tongue is controlled. That's what James is saying here. Know that you will use your tongue. That's the instrument you have. And the tongue is a very dangerous thing. If you don't know how to control it, if you are not using it in right ways, you will cause many damages. I had a guy telling mean that he complained to his boss about something, and his boss called him later on, and he said to me that the more he was talking, the worse it was becoming. He was trying to talk, to explain. The guy said that the more my boss was talking, the worse it was becoming. And towards the end, this guy told his boss that the only thing we can agree is that I don't understand what you're saying. And then he cut the phone. That was it. So sometimes by we trying to talk, we are causing more damage. We are to be people who have a controlled tongue. Jesus says again in Matthew 12, he says that, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Again, we use the tongue. We use the tongue as believers, as God's people. It's even worse for us who are given a platform to present, to talk. We have to be very conscious of that. We are not to be known as people who make funny jokes, who swear, people who say whatever they think, or people think because they have a sharp tongue, they can just twist and turn. They can talk something into somebody into something. That's not a good character. They can manipulate. They can do whatever they want to do. We are to know that by our words we'll be justified, by our words we'll be condemned, as Jesus says. In verse 6, James writes like this, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body, and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell." Solomon, talking about tongue, says this in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. Solomon says in Proverbs 12:18. He says, "There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health." There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. If you are a preacher of the word of God, God has seen that you have the wisdom. And the Bible says that who lacks wisdom must ask it from the Lord. You don't come in front to make things up. You don't come in front to make a goal. You know that you are given the duty, the task to present the word of God. As Christian, you know that you have the tag on you as Christian, as a believer. Whatever we talk must reflect the character of our Master and Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be, whatever we say must be bringing about health, not death. In Africa, one of the tools parents have is like, "I will curse you if a child is very bad. I will curse you, son. I will curse you, daughter." Everyone becomes scared. And it's even in the church of God. A pastor can make you run, can make you beg. If you say that, "I will call hell on you. I will curse you." Instead of bringing health to the people of God, they're bringing curse. They don't control their tongue. Solomon again, in Proverbs chapter 15, he says here, verse 1 to 2. Proverbs 15, 1 to 2, he says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness." Again, a soft tongue. A controlled tongue turns away anger. As a preacher of the word of God, we have to present the word of God with fear and trembling. We are to know that we have the tool. We have words. There can't be distorting words. There can't be cursing words. There can't be lying words. There can't be misrepresenting words. There can't be lying words or just unfounded fabrications. There can't be just our imaginations. There must be founded words. As pastors, let us be aware of our small instrument. We have the tongue, which is capable of setting fire. Many of the fires we see in our generation are started by somebody smoking and throwing a cigarette in the forest. Every time when it's so dry here, we are not commanded to have any fires, to grill, to do something. Why? Because it can cause houses to burn, it can cause forests, it can cause the whole quarter to be damaged. The same way, James is saying here that what simple words can do can be compared to fire. Can be compared to one just matches can do to the forest. We are to be careful. We are to be careful with our words. We are to be careful with our words. If the tongue is the tool you think you can win battle with, it better be a controlled instrument. You have to control your tongue. We are commanded to put our tongues under the control and dominion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our words must be good words, well thought words. We must be kind. We must be there to promote good health, not to cause troubles. Paul says in Ephesians 4:29, says, "Let no corrupt words proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to hearers." He wants us to be people. When we talk, we impart grace to people. We are people who make peace. We are people who are kind to people. We are not people whose words are hurting. It is a shame that we go out there, people still complain of what we said. If that has happened, we must know that our tongue is slippery, is in a wet place. If that has happened, we know that we stumble, but we have to be humble enough to ask for forgiveness, to make peace. Not to try to make things even worse by talking, try to take us out. It makes things worse. As pastors, as preachers, as Christians, whenever we have a chance to speak, we must make sure that we are controlling our tongue. We are controlling our tongue. We are not contributing to the fire the tongue can cause. Our speech must be honest. Whenever you are unclear, make it sure that it is clear. Whenever you have discovered that you have underestimated something or exaggerated something, try to be honest and not use distorting words for your own benefit. As a pastor, as a preacher, know that whatever you say in the pulpit is sin among your people. If you are a pastor who only complains, if a pastor who destroys every other people. If you are a pastor who is only focusing on their own thing, themselves, who complains about everything and everyone, that spirit will be sown in your congregation. You will have a congregation of people who only complain, who are only grumblers. We are not to be that way. If you have a pastor who is there only making unfounded fabrications about people, about things, what do you think the congregation is going to be like? It will be the same thing. Because why? You have the platform. Hitler didn't go and talk to people, meet every one of them, tell them, do this, do this, do this, do this. No. Hitler had a platform and spoke words people went to do. When IS started, or ISIS, when it started, it was not just, it was the words, people talking, and people went to do things. We are to be careful of our words. We must be careful. Let our yes be yes and our no be no. We are not to have distorting words for our own profit. We are not to change the words of God to fit us. We are to be people who are people of integrity. We are to seek to be honest and truthful in everything we say. We are to be those who are not spreading gossips, slanderers, or pushing people down so that we can be promoted. We have to be careful. We have to be careful. As pastors, as preachers, and also as congregation, as Christians, as children of pastors, as children of believers, we have to show a character that you have heard some good things at home. Note that the words which comes in your mouth, it puts your parents in a situation that they have to go and defend themselves. By defending themselves, they're making it because it's known. It was one of these days I saw Isaac. He found a note, a paper in the car. We were driving and he had a pen. He had written something on the paper. A bad word. And he was telling, was it Lynette or Samuel? Or he was reading, he was telling Lynette to read it. Isaac had written it and he was telling Lynette to read it. And Lynette read it and Isaac read it. I heard the word, I was like, son, where have you heard this word from? Because I was certain that I've never said that word in front of my children. I've never used that word. And luckily, he said that he heard it from his friend. Which friend, he said, I said that I will have a word with that friend of yours and his parents. Turn and think if it had come from you, if he would have said that I heard it from you. What shame would it be on me who was trying to be a good person? Our words are caught and are heard by others and they use them. We are to be careful. We are to be careful. We are to stop being complainers. We are to stop being those who grumbles. We are to stop being people who can exaggerate things. We are to be truthful to what we say. We don't want to have a church of people who complain, who grumble, who church who only point fingers. Paul, a church that will reflect our character. And when we see it, we get angry because we don't know that people have learned it from us. If a pastor is a gossiper, the congregation will be the same. If a pastor is not into sound doctrine, you see what's happening. You see that there are many denominations taken astray. Why? Because of what the pastors are teaching. The power of the tongue. Solomon says in Proverbs 18:13, He says, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. Just imagine if you are a person with sharp tongue. When you are angry, if you are in the mood that I want to correct this person, I want to make to justify myself. How many minutes, how many seconds do you have to listen to what that other person says? None. When this person tries to talk, you go on, you don't know what you're talking, you go on. In the end, it happens that there's misunderstanding. Solomon, he said that we are to give some time to listen. We are to give some time to listen. We are to be people who are there to listen as believers, as those who aspire to preach the word of God. We are to train our tongue. We are to train our tongue. In verse 7 and 8, James brings us to a conclusion. In this conclusion, James says that, look at the beasts, the wild beasts, they are tamed. Look at the snakes. Look at the different animals. Even Josias went to see animals. Lilia went to see animals at the zoo. Bears and stuff. They went to see them. The Bible says that they are tamed. If you have a dangerous animal, if it is trained, we know people who have tigers in the home. There are people who live with bisons, the big animals in the houses. There are people who live with crocodiles. People who live with dangerous snakes in the houses. They are trained. James is saying that these, if they are well trained, they are tamed by human beings. Noah controlled the animals. He brought them into the ark. The Bible doesn't tell us of any accident that one bison or one lion attacked one of the people working there. But he says at the same time, but a tongue, who can tame it? He asks the question, who can tame it? The point James makes here is that the tongue on its nature, on its natural way, can't be controlled. It does everything to do to be uncontrolled. The tongue wants to lie. The tongue wants to twist and to manipulate. The tongue wants to do everything, to do whatever. The tongue wants to be free. The tongue is frustrated that it is put in the gate. It hangs. The tongue wants to express what is in our heart. It's fighting for that. I want to say what actually you are thinking. What is in your heart? I want to say to the people. He asks, who can tame the tongue? This is not for people of the world. It's also for believers. The tongue wants to come out of this sanctified gate. It wants to be free. Even to preachers, the tongue wants to come out. James is asking a question, who can tame the tongue? James says that it has great poison. The tongue is so dangerous that it's so venom, it's so poisonous than snake. Why? Snakes, venom kills only the person, the body, the heart stops beating and that's it. If you are bitten by a mamba, it can be green or it can be a black mamba. If you are bitten by it, you have seconds to live. If you are taken by a crocodile or something or a shark, you might survive. You might have an amputated leg or amputated arm, but the damage the tongue can cause can be economical, they can be moral, they can be spiritual, they can be social. The damage tongue can make, they can be really bad. Somebody can live with these damages for the rest of their lives. As God's people, we are to be careful of the tongue. But how do we escape this? How do we do it? How we who are given the office of preachers, those who are teachers, those who are pastors, how can we do this? How can we tame the tongue? We are to pray as David prayed in Psalm 141, verse 3. 141, verse 3. And David prays this way. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. David knew that on his own he wouldn't control the tongue. He would not tame the tongue. David turned to the God who created that tongue, who gave him that tongue, that God will help him to control it. We have the word of God. We have to train ourselves. But I can tell you that we can only train ourselves if we acknowledge that we have those mistakes. We have those areas which need to be mortified, areas which need to be helped. But if we are living in denial, if somebody comes to you, try to say that you say something, you jump on direct and start trying to make yourself, to justify yourself. There is no room for improvement. There's no room for improvement. As Christians, let us be people who are willing, who know the danger of the member of our body we have. As God has given us office to use it, let us be careful. Let us be careful. As God has given us platform in our families to be leaders, to lead, let us be careful. Husband, don't use words to hurt your wife. Husband, don't use your words to hurt your children. Wife, don't use your sharp tongue to undermine your husband or to destroy him. Don't use your tongue to destroy your children. Don't use your tongue to destroy your neighbor. Don't destroy your tongue as a tool to get you what you want to do. Be careful. Be careful of your tongue. I know that Don Green is like, I have fire. Don, you are not talking to me. But there are sometimes, even the sharp, the quietest person, when they are angry, they can be really sharp. But we are not to be that way. We are to know that, as James said here, don't use your tongue in bad ways. And next week we will see how we can use the tongue for better things. Shall we pray? Father, we do thank you for the tongue you have given us, that through it we can communicate and we can say what is in our heart, we can express ourselves. Lord, at the same time we know the dangers, we know, Lord, the fires this tongue can make. We know how nations, we know how civilizations have been destroyed, and families, we know how churches, we know how, Lord, friendships have been destroyed because of tongue. God, we appreciate the the warning you give us in Scripture. Lord, especially for us who have office of teachers, help us, God, that we may not use it for destruction of your body or destruction of those who live among us. We pray, Father, that you will help us. Lord, that we may be wise people who listen. We may be wise people who use our tongue to promote health and to show the grace of God. Help us, God, that whenever we have the chance to talk, there will be mercy. Help us, Lord, against this weight and flippant tongue. Lord, that we may use it to glorify, to bless, not to curse. Father, not to use it for cursing. We may use it, Lord, for worshipping, honoring, and presenting God, presenting all the counsel of God to people of God. God help us. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.